Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Nedarim Pei Daled. We are holding right on top of the Amud Esvei, Rava L'Rav Nachman. Let's go back to yesterday's Daf. We have our Mishnah, where an Isha gets up, a wife gets up and says, I will have no hanof from Biriyos, from people in general. Does that include husband? Rav Nachman says, no, husband is husband, people are people, it's two different things. She made a neder against having enough from the community at large. It will not include her own husband, Ishtoi Kegufoi, it's one and the same, you know, unit, one entity. He's not considered part of Biriyos, the general term referring to the community at large. That's Rav Nachman's approach to this halacha, to this expression. Briyos does not include husband, and therefore she may have hanoah from her husband, although she cannot do the same from Briyos, from the general population at large. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, Rav has a kasha to Rav Nachman. Ubal lav bichlal Briyos too. Do you maintain that when an isha says the word Briyos, it does not include husband? He's a separate entity. He's not included in the general population, in terms of, you know, her point of reference. Is that so? Ubal lav bichlal briyosu, in which case she can have anah from her husband. Vatanan, listen to this Mishnah, which we actually had the other day. Vatanan, natula ani mina Yehudim. Anisha says, I am separate from all Yehudim, a general term referring to the general Jewish population. We'll assume Natula means I'm separate from them. I shall not have any physical interaction as married with anybody. All Yehudim. What does the Mishnah say? What is the husband going to do? Yofer Chalkai. He applies Hafaras Nedarim to his aspect, meaning to the element of the nether which affects him. So he nullifies that aspect of her nether, utei mishamashtai, which allows her to interact with him as married. Utei netula min hayehudim, but in terms of her interaction as married with all other Yehudim, that remains usur. Okay, so he does afar to the part that pertains to himself, but the remainder of that nether stays intact. Asks Rava to Rav Nachman. And the Gemara now is assuming that Briyos and Yehudim are of similar fashion. A general reference to the general population. And if you tell me that Briyos does not include husband, we'll assume that Yehudim will not include husband as well. V'i amris ba'al lav b'chlal Briyosu. If you maintain that the word Briyos, the expression Briyos, does not include husband. And here as well, Yehudim does not allude to her own husband. So now let's think about what happened. She says, Netula ani mina Yehudim. I'm going to be separate from all Yehudim. We thought it meant in terms of interaction as married. But keep in mind, she's a married woman, a neshes ish, who in any case doesn't interact with other men as married, right? So when she gets up and says, I must abstain from Yehudim, I'm netula ani mina Yehudim. And Yehudim, let's remember, Yehudim does not mean her husband. It means strangers at large, with whom in any case she can't interact as married. So when she's making this nether to keep away, apparently it is unrelated to interacting as married, which is also regardless. Apparently what she's trying to say is, I will not have any other form of benefit from all Yehudim. I will not take from them, I will not benefit from them. In which case, guess what this is? Nidrei inui nefeshein. This is your classic nether, which deprives, which is annoying, which is classified as inui nefesh. Inui nefeshein v'yafer lo. In which case, husband should just go about doing hafar and cancel the entire nether. Why is he limited in his ability? He can only do hafar to the aspect of the nether which applies to himself. What do you mean? She's not speaking about abstaining from interacting as married, because remember, she says, Mina Yehudim, which is referring to only strangers. Husband is not included in Briyos, not included in Yehudim. So when she's saying a neder from Yehudim, it's unrelated to living as married, because she's not doing that with them in any case. Apparently it's simple as that. She's just keeping away. No benefit, no hana from any Yehudim. That's inu nevesh. So rather than the Mishnah telling us that husband can only be meifer his part, he should apply a broad hafara on the entire neder. Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam eimalach shani hacha demuchacha milsa dehalateiru ka'asra nafsha. Oh, here it's different, says the Gemara. You see, netula ani mina Yehudim, what we're assuming means iser tashmish, iser of interaction as married. And as you just explained, as you just presented, of course, I agree with you. This cannot be a reference to all other men in the broader community with whom she cannot interact as married regardless. Over here it's different. Shani hacha demuchacha milsa. It's pretty clear, it's pretty evident. Although typically husband is a separate entity from Yehudim, is considered different, is labeled different than just Briyos. But here it's different. Apparently he was the target of her neder. Dalateru ka'asra nafsha, because when she makes a neder, I'm refraining, I'm going to keep away from interacting as married. Who is she referring to? To an individual with whom she has that potential to interact with as married, i.e. her husband. So that's the teretz. Typically, husband is not identified as Briyos. Husband is not labeled as Yehudim, but here it's different. We have no alternative but to interpret her intentions as having directed her nether specifically at her husband, with whom she was mutter until now. From now on, I'm also to interact with you as married. And that, therefore, says the Mishnah, it included everybody. Everybody out there, and of course her husband, with whom she was mutter until now, and now she's making it asr. And therefore, says the Mishnah, he can go ahead and do hafara to the aspect of the nether that pertains to him, that affects him. Because otherwise he is asr due to her nether. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the Mishnah for a moment, where a wife gets up and says, no, from Briyos, I can't benefit from anybody out there. Still, says the Mishnah, she can collect all these gifts, all these leftovers abandoned by the farmer for the aniyim. Leket, shikha, upeya. What about maser ani? You know, the classic gift given by the farmer to the poor man. What about that? But like tani b'maser ani, the Mishnah leaves that out, omits maser ani. Why can't she go and partake in maser ani? You see, the Ran explained for us that the reason why she may go ahead and collect these things is because farmer's not giving it, he's not granting it, it's not a personal gift, he's just leaving it for the ani to take, as the pasuk says, taza voisim, just leave it, abandon it. You dropped a stalk, leave it alone. So when she goes and picks it up, it is not considered taking from the farmer, from whom she cannot take anything. She can't have enough from him. She's not taking from him. She's cashing in on her schus that the Torah gives her as a poor person. You can collect these things. What about maser ani? A portion of the crop which the farmer would give to the ani during certain years of the Shemitah cycle. What's wrong with that? That's also not a gift. That's a gift from heaven, which she has a right to take, being a poor person. But Tanya, you have a brisa. We have a brisa that does add this to the list of permissible items. Uba maser oni, just like she can take leket, shikcha, and peah, she can take maser oni as well. Amar Vesav, like Kasha, the answer is like this. It depends who's speaking. There are two perspectives in terms of how to package the maser oni procedure. Ha Rabbi Lezer, ha Rabbanon. The brisa, which allows this isha, who may not have any anof from the farmer, allows her to take maser oni. That's Rabbi Lezer speaking. Who says that when a yoni takes maser oni, it is not something which the farmer is actually giving him. In which case, she's not getting a direct gift from the farmer, and it's mutter. Whereas the Mishnah, our Mishnah, which omits maser oni, maintains that when a farmer allows oni to take maser oni, it's actually being given by the farmer to the oni. Where do we find this machlekes? This none. We have a Mishnah Meseches Demai. We know that there was a takana. If a fellow buys produce from an unlearned fellow in Amaretz, who is suspect of not having addressed the trumas and maaser's obligations of his produce, there's a whole, you know, procedure of how to deal with it. You take off trumas maaser, maaser rishon, to address that uncertainty. Okay, what about maaser ani? You see, the interesting thing with maaser ani is that it goes to the ani, it goes to the poor person. It's more like a monetary claim that he has on this produce, and well, he has to prove his claim. Maybe the Am Haaretz did already address the maaser ani obligation. So, is a buyer obligated to address it again on account of that suffix? We have a machlekes. This none. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ein tzarech likrois, ein adam tzarech likrois shame. One does not have to even designate. You see, all agree you don't have to ever give it to the ani. Because once you've separated the maaser ani, once you've designated it, once you occur a shame, you've labeled it, this is maaser ani, you've addressed the basic obligation, you've started the process. Now, until the ani can actually prove that it belongs to him, by proving that, you know, the Am Haaretz, the seller, never took off the maaser ani, until he does that, you're not obligated to give it to him at all. Now, it's just simply a monetary obligation towards which we apply the well-known rule called Hamitzi Mechaveri. When you want to extract from your friend, you have to substantiate your claim, Olav Araya. So giving to the ani is certainly not obligatory. What about separating the maser ani and designating it in the, you know, in the pile? Rav Elazar says, forget about it. Ein Adam Tzarech L'Grois. Shame Al Maser Ani Shadmai. There's no need to do that. You know what? Go ahead and do designate some, you know, portion for the maser ani. We don't have to actually give it to the ani. That's the machlekes. Why? Because although the maser ani is indeed, you know, intended for the ani, but when it's unseparated, it's really terrible. It's called tevel, in which case if a person eats it, there's a punishment, a very severe punishment. Punishment of misa b'dei shamayim. It's almost an irony. You see, once you separate it, you give it to the ani, anybody can have it. But if it's left unseparated in the pile, in the kri, it's called tevel, in which case it carries severe consequences upon consumption. Therefore, say the chachamim, unless you separate it, it's called tevel. Separate it. But then you could hold on to it. You don't have to actually give it to the ani. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, look, you know, a truma, I understand, you know, a regular person cannot eat truma, so leaving it unseparated is terrible. It's tevel. But here, you know, it's just going to the ani. So how could unseparated maser ani, you know, create such severe consequences? How could we consider it tevel? And therefore, he says, don't worry about it. Unless you know that you have to give it to the ani, you don't even have to bother separating it. So that's the machlekes we have in Maseches Demai. Now, the Gemara is going to try to connect that machlekes to our discussion. What was our discussion? Let's start from scratch. We have an isha who gets up and says, I will not have hana'ah from anybody out there. Says the Mishnah, don't take anything from anybody. But you can pick up leket, you know, the dropped stalks, shikha, the forgotten bundles, pay a portion of the corn of the field left over for the poor person, if indeed she is an ani and entitled to these privileges. Why is she mutter? Because she's not receiving anything directly from the farmer. It's an indirect zechus, which she's just taking on account of her Torah allowance. The Mishnah does not mention Maser Ani. The Braisa does. Apparently there's a machlekes here on how to view Maser Ani. When a Ani accepts Maser Ani, is he taking from the farmer or is he just accessing his rights impersonally? That's going to be the machlekes, and the Gemara will hinge it on Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. How is that? Lamando amar sveikoy toivel, according to the Chachamim, who appear to hold that, you know, when it's not separated, it makes a tevel. Even when there is a suffix, you have to, you know, address that chance that there is a chiv maser ani. Otherwise, there's tevel here. Now, what is that based on? And the Ran brings the pasuk. V'le'yichalalu es kachay b'nei Yisrael. How do we know that tevel is also v'le'yichalalu es kachay b'nei Yisrael? Don't desecrate the holy, the truma, etc. of b'nei Yisrael. Eis asher yarimu, that which they will in the future separate. And the Gemara and Sanhedrin applies this pasuk to tevel, produce, which contains unseparated portions of truma and maser, is considered tevel. Eis asher yarimu, that which they are supposed to separate in the future, it's as yet unseparated, it's called tevel. It carries grave consequences. Eating it is punishable by death. And the Ran explains, there's a correlation. You see, it's all in the same pasuk, the concept of tevel, and the way the Torah refers to the Truma and Maser with the words Eis Asher Yarimu, that which they will separate. It's all in the same pasuk, indicating to us there's a connection, there's a correlation between two things. What makes something tevel? Eis Asher Yarimu, that which contains in it an element which they will separate and give. The Torah empowers the owner to give. It's sort of a part ownership. You have a partial balos on the truma maser. It's yours to give. And that item, which you were meant to give, if you fail to give that item, if it's still inside your kri, that's called tevel. So you see a strong connection between the chiv to give, the schus to give, which makes it tevel when it's not given, when it's not separate, when it's still inside your pile. So again, lamando mar sveiko tevel, according to chachamim, that hold that unseparated maser ani makes tevel, kasavir is like teves hano. That indicates that the owner has teves hano. Teves hano has many different interpretations, but here it can simply mean it's yours to give. Sometimes it means that you can actually get a bonus. You know, you can be paid off by somebody. Let's say a grandfather will pay the farmer, here, take a couple of coins and give the master to my grandson, the Levi. Basically, it's a reference to that sort of partial ownership that the farmer has in these trumas and masters, which are his to give, so to speak. They're his in as much as he has the ability, the God-given ability, Torah ability, to give. That's called Tevas Hanna. He has that Hanna of being able to give it. Or perhaps even get something in return for giving it. So once that's the case, V'kiven di'islai Tevas Hanna, once we've proven that according to the Chachamim, even when it comes to Maser Ani, it is considered owned by the farmer in terms of his ability to give it away. It's his gift. Loi mahanya. That explains why the Isha, who can't have an off from anybody, including this farmer, cannot take his master ani, because otherwise she's having direct anah from him. Uleman damai einikar Hashem, whereas Rabbi Elazar says, leave it alone. If you're not sure about Maseroni, you don't have to separate it. Because he holds, Kosavar, Sveika Eina Tevel. Although this is Safik here, don't worry about the Tevel. It's not Tevel. Unseparated Maseroni doesn't constitute Tevel. V'choshe Sveika Eina Tevel. And anything which does not create Tevel, less like Teves Hano. Something which doesn't create Tevel doesn't contain the element of Teves Hanav, because again, it's all learned from the same Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'leichalu eskotche b'nei Yisrael eis asher yarimu. Things which will be separated and given. Things with the Torah put into the hands of a farmer to give away. They're his to give, so to speak. They create Tevel when they're ungiven, when they're unseparated. The Rush says, well, if it's up to him to decide whether or not he wants to separate it, giving it is not chashav, doesn't create a teves hanah, it's not a significant act. So whichever way we learn, whether it's just based on the pasuk, or whether there's a svara like the Rush, bottom line is there's a correlation between the fact that it does not generate tevel when it's unseparated, and the fact that it does not contain the element of teves hanah. And therefore, although the Isha may not have Hanah from the farmer, she can take his Maseroni. Vishara, the Sanuyi, she can take his Hanah, his Maseroni. She's not taking from him. It's not a personal gift. Rather, she's accessing the Schus that the Torah gave her to take Maseroni. This was Reb Yosef's way of explaining, answering the Stira between our Mishnah, which does not allow her Maseroni, because it is considered a direct gift, a personal gesture from the farmer, whereas the Braisa, which mentions Maser Oni as another permissible item for this Isha, is going in Shitas Rabbonu, Shitas Rabbi Elazar, who says that there's no Teves Hanah. Our Mishnah is Rabbonon. There is Teves Hanah by Maser Oni. The Braisa is Rabbi Elazar. There is no Teves Hanah. Only Abai, perhaps we can approach the discussion a bit differently. The kuli alma sveika tevel. You know, your suggestion that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan revolves around this question, perhaps not. Everybody would agree that theoretically sveika tevel. If you have any suffix whether or not Maseroni has been separated, if you leave it in there, you're creating an issue of tevel. Because unseparated Maseroni is Tevel. So what then is the Machlokes? Between Rabbi Elazar, who says, Demai is Pater from Maseroni, and Rabbi Chacham say, you have to worry about the Maseroni. What's the Machlokes? A very practical question. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon, Balkamifkid, Machlokes between them is as follows. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Loi Nechshedu, Ami Ha'aretz al Maseroni. You know, he bought this thing from an Am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz is not suspect of avoiding Maseroni. You know why? He has nothing to lose from separating Maseroni. Kivon di ilu mafkir nichse. Vavoni. He always has the ability to say, look, I'm abandoning all my properties for a few minutes. I'm becoming a poor man. Vishakli, and then takes the Maseroni for himself. Vishakli, you? Then he himself will take his Maseroni. He has an easy way, easy trick to never give any Maseroni. Right? He finishes harvesting. He separates the Maseroni. Right down there, he says, you know, I'm becoming an Ani on the spot. Hefker. All my fields, all my properties, Hefker. He quickly, as he turns an Ani, he quickly grabs the Maseroni and then reacquires all his possessions. Makes a Kenyan, gets it all back. So, and I'm Oretz, so wants to avoid giving away the Maseroni, has such an easy, convenient solution to do so. Less like Pseid, in which case, he doesn't necessarily have to incur any loss at all. So why wouldn't he just behave, be a good boy, do the Maseroni, and then just take it for himself? And therefore, there's no chashash ever that I'm Oretz would avoid Maseroni. And therefore, when you have a suffix, leave it alone. But Rabbanan Savri, no. Nichse le mafker inish. A person wouldn't resort to such a loophole. He wouldn't be mafker his nechasim. You know why the mirsas? Who is that? Has that fear? Dilma zachi bu inish achruna. Perhaps as he's being mafker, somebody overhears him and quickly grabs his possessions before he has a chance to reacquire his possessions. So he has that nagging fear, and therefore he wouldn't resort to this loophole. Hilkach nechshadu, and therefore the only way is to actually give the maserani, which he doesn't want to do, and therefore there's a strong chashash that he avoided doing so, and therefore say the chachamim, you must address the maserani obligations. So Abaye was disputing Rav Yosef's interpretation of Rav Lez and the Rabban. Okay, so let's go back to the first question. We seem to have a contradiction between our Mishnah, which omits Maser Ani as something which the Isha can take, and the Braisa, which adds that to the list as well. We have Rav Yosef's approach. The question revolves around whether the giving of Maser Ani is in the hands of the farmer, it's like it's his to give, or it's just something which the Isha, or the Ani for that matter, will take on their own. In which case, it's not called a Hanoah from the farmer. That's Rav Yosef's approach. Rava says, look, as simple as this, there are two types of Maser Ani. And that explains the disparity between the Mishnahs. Kan ba Maser Ani ha-meschalt b'teich ha-bayis. When the Mishnah omits Maser Ani, that's because we're speaking about Maser Ani, which is actually distributed back home, once the farmer already took his produce home. Then, when he gives Maser Ani, he's actually giving, he's gifting, he's granting, it's personal. We have a pasuk which alludes to the word nesina, giving, gifting, granting, in which case, we certainly understand why the Isha cannot take from him. That explains our Mishnah. Kan, but the Braisa which allows Maser Ani to the Isha, is speaking about a different type of Maser Ani, a more natural Maser Ani, which is given out in the field, in a timely manner. Not, after the fact, when he takes it home. When it's done properly out in the field. Kan ba Maser Ani, ha-meschalg b'teich ha-granis, out in the granaries. Kiven d'chsibbe v'yinachter b'sharecha, which the Pasuk describes as, v'yinachter, just abandon, leave it alone. Let him take it. Don't helicopter him. Don't be on top of him. Let the Ani take it. Surely it's anuyid, which allows Isha to take it as well. Something personal. It's a gift from Hashem. Nothing to do with the owner. So we had a kasha. The Mishnah says, no Maser Ani for the Isha who made an Isra Hanav from anybody out there. She can't take Maser Ani. Only like a Chikhampeya. The Braisa does allow Maser Ani. We have two ways to explain. Rabbi Yosef and Rav. Continues the Gemara, Kahanam Levim Nenon Li Yitnu Al Karch. A fellow gets up and says, you know what? Kohanim cannot take anything from me. What happens when it comes to Truma? They can forcibly take it. Alma, Toiva Sano, Eina Momen, which would sort of send a message to us that, the Chiyav, or the ability for a farmer, a field owner, to give a Truma, that's called the Toiva Sano, as we explained before. In a moment, it does not constitute, financial ownership. It's not really considered money. It's not like he has a financial, interest in this produce. He has a chiv to give, but he's not considered a partial owner just because he has the ability to give it. How do we know that? From the fact that the Mishnah says that a kohen can forcibly take it from this fellow. If it would be considered mamin, if teves hana, the ability to give the truma to the kohen, is considered balus, ownership, then how could the kohen take from him? He's not going to take from this fellow, from whom he cannot have hana. So we see, ein mamin, it doesn't constitute ownership, it's just a schus that the Torah gave the kohen. Nothing personal about it. Okay, Amos Sefer, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah, where the fellow said it slightly differently. Kayhanim Eilu, Ulevim Eilu, Nenali. He pointed to specific Kayhanim, or specific Levim. He says, these fellows cannot take from me. What does the Mishnah say? They're not able to take. Yitlu Achirim, have others take. Avalahaniloi, but he can't give these people. Alma tevasana a moment. Clearly, that's because when he gives them the truma or the master, he's giving them something. He's considered a part owner. He has a financial stake in this produce. What do you mean? It's not his. He's about to give it away. But he has tevasana. The Torah gives him the ability to choose and to give. That makes him an owner. That makes it personal. That makes it a gift from him to them. One second. A minute ago, you just told me it's not so. And therefore, they can just access his produce freely. It's not really his. We have a stira within the same Mishnah. You're right, says the Gemara. Amar v'isha, le'kasha. The answer is, there's a machlekes. Ha Rebbe, va Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. We have machlekes between the Tanoim, Rebbe, and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, whether Teva Sana, the ability of a farmer to give and to choose his recipient, is considered an expression of ownership or not. First part of the Mishnah says it is not, and therefore it's not personal, which allows anybody to take it, whereas the second part of the Mishnah seems told that it is, like the other Shita, in which case the subject of his neder must keep away from his Truma. Be'ezus Hashem will continue tomorrow, elaborate further, and conclude on this discussion. Okay, so what do we learn today? We started with a question. Rav Nachman says, Briyas, that doesn't include husband. The Gemara assumes Yehudim, that's not husband. So why then is husband included in the nether when she made a nether against Yehudim? Because Yehudim are asatur in any case, in terms of marital interaction. Apparently, she meant to include her husband as well. The Mishnah mentions that an Isha, who made a nether against anybody, I can't have enough from anybody, but if she's poor, she can take the following items, leket, shikha, umpeya, which are left over by the farmer. What about Maser Oni? That's not included in the Mishnah, because that's considered a direct gift from the farmer. The Brisa includes this as well, because he considers it not personal from farmer to recipient, rather it's a schus from the Torah. Rav had another pshat. Depends which Maser Oni. The one given out in the field, the Pasuk refers to it as vihinachta. That's not personal, that's mutta to the Isha. Whereas the one given back at home, once he brings it into his house, then there's a nuchiv. If you haven't given until now, give it now. But that's referred to as vinosata, which is considered a gift, a matona, which would be something personal and usher by the mudur hano. We conclude with an apparent stira within the Mishnah. We said it's a machlekes. Tanoim, whether or not Tovei HaSanoa is considered mamein or not. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Have much hatzlacha and b'suras tovos.